بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من شمائل الترمذي containing characteristic of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ways, style, the demeanor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is contained. These books are important to be studied, and studied with an open mind, preferably under some supervision. You don't study it with an open mind and without any supervision, then you are looking in the kitab for what you want. One is what Allah Ta'ala wants, and His Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants. And one is what you want. What you want is made up by the circle of your friends, environment, news that you come up across. They all make up your mind. So they become your God. So the importance of studying the book with an open mind and under some supervision. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُمْ قَلْبٌ. So heart must be right. Qalb must be salim, sound. For you to see it sound, then your heart must be sound. So in this shamail, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عَتَادٌ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a system in everything, everything in place. And it's obvious that Islam started with the Islam of Ghariban, one, two persons, three persons. But the plan of Allah Ta'ala was that it must be a system that will run through the world. So for the system to run through the world, for Islam administration, then there was a need that there is a system in everything. And if there isn't a system, then how are you going to run an administration? The smallest things, and there was a system, there was an approach, there was a way. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up in the morning to realize that bedding was double fold, and he disapproved of this. This thing delayed my tahajjud. So see the system. It may seem to be a small misdemeanor, but then that impacts on your performance. And you ask any person who's used to his Fajr namaz on time with Jamaat, and he's used to his Tahajjud, for example, on time, properly, correctly, and the day he misses it out, what happens? The whole day can't function well. It means the whole system has got affected because of this not being in place. Mawlana Alimiya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says that there was some sheikh in Sham, and one day the murids noticed that things are not like they are normally, like they would be normally. Not like how it normally used to be. Something is not right. So one murid took the courage to find out what happened. You know, we see a certain way, a discipline, a system, everything running very smoothly. But today we don't find it. What is gone wrong? So he pointed out towards his knees. What's the relationship? The system going off between the system and the knees. What's the relationship? So he says, see, My knees were painful, so I couldn't do my Quran Sharif, my tulpit, my tilawat, my namaz, as I was used to be doing. And when that went off, then the system around also went off. Someone did the azan, and someone was about to start the iqamat. He had already started the iqamat. Nabi Sim stopped him. Man azdana fahuwa yuqeem. The one that gives azan, it is his right to give the iqamat. Now, it would seem to be a very small thing, insignificant thing. But now you've got the system in place. See that? And the smallest thing in the system, get it right. Get it right. Then you'll be able to run big things, big matters. These things are not right. Time was at Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he was getting one of his rooms ready around the masjid, perhaps for his tasneef, etc. And while that was going on, so someone that was not designated to give the azan, he called out the azan. The azan called for him. What happened? He said, "Oh, the muazzin requested me to give the azan." So Mona called up the muazzin. "And why did you ask him to call the azan? Whose permission? Why?" Now, when you have done this without asking, now see what happens, what goes on. Now, the townspeople are not familiar with the voice. When they're not familiar with the voice, they will be unclear as to the timings. Timing is right or not right. Number two, he stood at a high spot. Now you're talking of India over 100 years ago. When he stood at a high spot, then someone's parda and privacy is going to be invaded. And then the mass, they don't have the guts and the courage to broach this type of subjects with the seniors. And they just have to suffer in pain. They know it's wrong, and they know perhaps our parda is getting invaded, but now we don't have the courage to go and voice our feelings in front of the senior. But now see this mishap and what it has brought about. So لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عَتَادٌ. Everything, there is a system. Do it according to the system and you will see the good in it. So I say that we look into a kitab or said by a buzurg to listen to what we want to listen, to understand how we want to understand. So the system is off. Your system, your mind is not right. Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, imagine that there is a siege on his house. They lay a siege. The rebels laid a siege against his house. So there's no way he can come out. Right? There are a few people that are communicating with him. And in that siege, they ask him, "But you see now the rebels have taken control of the town and they have taken control of the masjid. What do we do?" You understand now? They have taken control of the town and they have taken control of the masjid. So what do we do? I look at, again, systems. So these people had lived with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usman lived with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu. And with that frame of mind, that if there is anything left out, that must be corrected. Anything left out, and it must be left, it must be corrected. So you can imagine now, it's a Jummah. Had Umar radiallahu anhu on the minbar, and had Usman al-Ghani, who's known as Zun Nurain, has already earned his jannat. promised and confirmed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already on his jannat. And he comes with a little bit of a delay. Azan is being called, and perhaps around that time, he just steps into the masjid as Umar is on the minbar. And then on a Jummah, you can imagine the crowd. Only one person and two persons. And in that whole crowd, Umar radiallahu anhu reprimands him. Don't you know? Jummah, and you must be early at the masjid. So Usman al-Ghani excused himself that I was occupied in some work, and I heard the azan, and I responded straight, I just made my wuzu, and I came to the masjid. He reprimanded him for the second time, "Wal wudu wa aidan." You only made wuzu. Don't you know that it is an emphasized sunnah to make ghusl? Now, the hadith is reported again by Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu and other sahaba kiram. And look at the system. But Usman al-Ghani did not object to the system. The system from the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he's mentioned it. See, now, that requires, I say repeatedly, you need the right mind. If it was a person with a mind like a peanut, then he would have found the right time to complain. Me, Zun Nurain, I will be the Khalifa just now, in a few days, in a few years, and this is how the man treats me. Of the whole crowd, not the first time, he's always doing this. So you come with that frame of mind, then that's what you got afterwards, eventually. It's just a matter of time. See, what you are building up in yourself, it's a matter of time for that thing to pan out. And you see the results. Now you want to see the right results, just go with the flow. And not just for convenience. You're going with the flow, with happiness. Not just, oh, you know what, it's a few days now, we just stick with all this thing here. Everything's over, we'll be on the same seat just now. Let's forget the man now, ignore him, he's aging up now. And as he's aging up, so he has to say something, shout here and there, so let him carry on. He'll have his innings, then we'll take on. So that was not the attitude. See this pattern, this set, system. What was the frame of the mind of the Sahaba Ikram? Differences will happen. Look at what's happening now, right? You'll have differences. But you'll have a group of people who hold on to the original ways. They don't move away from the original ways. And it is safest to be with them. It's possible that they're holding on to the original, and it may be that they are sticking on to the original harder than what they're supposed to be. But then to security and safety is in holding on to their ways. There is a chapter in Abu Dawud Sharif, Tasweeb. Tasweeb actually translates as clothing. So when a person wants to send a signal, then he removes one garment of his and he waves it. Like you see a train, right? So he's got a flag, cloth again, the cloth is being waved. Signaling, now you must stop and now you must move. So this is where they got it originally, the sweep. Right? Now the sweep comes for three reasons. One is to wave a cloth, right? One is to call back. You send someone and you ask him to return. Call him back. Ask him to return. So you can ask him to return in three different ways. One is in the Fajr Azan, you say, As-salatu khayrun minan nawm. Said the whole Azan, and now you're calling him back. Bye, enough now. Come. Enough of your sleeping. Now come to Qudsi Namaz. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. See, so that's one type of tasweeb. That tasweeb is from the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no problem in that. His style, his way, practiced from then till this day. Right? So you see what I'm saying is that it is safest to do what was done originally. And to move away from that, that's difficult. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous to move away from that. Because you don't know how sound the person is, or the circumstance he's saying this. See, he doesn't, you don't know about it. This morning, someone is giving the news, right? Just now, the MJC said, all masjids are banned. Right? Now, they have changed the whole stance. Now, who wants to go to masjid, they must go to masjid. But now see this double standards. This double standards, where it's coming from? Public pressure. So, they're supposed to be ulama, have some sight, right? This is going to be carrying on. For 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And a Muslim is naturally bonded to a masjid. You can't break that bond. It's like a fish out of water. So you need to keep it, you need to keep it artificially alive, right? But he's naturally bonding with a masjid. And now you want to cut him off and give it in different dimensions, flowery languages. And how long are you going to hold? At some point they say, no, but this is not right. Masjid, must break off on the masjid? Break away from the masjid? No. So his iman is going to speak out against it. His commitment to deen will speak out. The attachment and the bond to the masjid will speak out. Now the one that's got a little bit of iman, imani consciousness and awareness, he will not stand it. But that iman is so weak. That iman is so weak. How are you going to endure? One person comes to the Mu'tan Misab Rahmatullah. So he's already a Khalifa. So he comes in with his son. Son is about 13 years of age. So Mawlana asked him, did you pay the full ticket or half the ticket? Because Indian trains, under 12, you pay half. And the child was looking quite small, so he wrote him off as under 12. Mawlana asked him, what ticket did you buy? And he spilled the beans. This is what happened. Well, I strike you off the Khilafat. No more I did this. Let's cut it off. So iman is so weak that for a few coppers you could speak a lie, right? In the face of a calamity, will you be able to endure? See? So the iman is so weak for a few kuffar doctors. This whole thing is coming from kuffar. Maybe they're Satanist, maybe they're gays, maybe they're lesbians, maybe they're atheists. It's coming from them. That fear is coming from them. And that is overwhelming the fear of Allah Ta'ala, His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran, the Hadith, replete about performing namaz with Jamaat in a masjid. Right? The Nabi Sallam is warning, I wish to burn the homes. And again his warning that a wolf will devour a sheep that is stray. And then again, the standard in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is only the person that is bayyinun nifaq, his hypocrisy is open, he leaves the masjid. A little bit of fear here, there and all that, close the masjid, lock it down. So where's that iman? Whether it is an educated person or an uneducated person, a religious person or irreligious person, anywhere in the history of Islam, from the time of Nabi Sallam till this day, the masjid is all locked up. This one historic report they've got, that people didn't come to the masjid. It wasn't that it was locked. Now this again, it's been misconstrued. They didn't come for the day or 2 days. And the reason that's shown is there's so many casualties, the people had to attend to the casualties and they couldn't come for the day or 2 days to the masjid. Now this hadith, this report is in the 5th century, long after the Khulafa'i Rashideen, just about a day or 2 days, is misconstrued to support the claim. Now you see that? Small little bit of fear, your iman is gone. So in the face of any difficulty, where are you going to hold your? Where are you going to be able to hold the iman? The masjid was a place of security. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sabram says, he says, it's a big hadith, right? But the gist of the hadith, we love Allah Ta'ala, love His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We love His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love the Sahaba Kiram. You love the Sahaba Kiram, love the Quran. And you love the Quran Sharif, then love the masjid. And then he says, Maymunun, Maymunun Ahlua. Those that frequent the masjid, they are blessed. Mahfuzun, Mahfuzun Ahlua. Those who frequent the masjid, they are protected. Now you get an educated person, no, the masjid cannot afford you security. Because Umar radiallahu anhu was killed in the masjid. See that? Now this is a type of intelligence. See this intelligence? So that's why I say that, that learning, if it's not supported from the Sahaba Kiram, from the righteous of the past, then that is all suspect. But if you examine this whole hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, Bukhari Sharif has got it, he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala, give me shahadat in the town of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Give me shahadat and in the town of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So as though he's saying Allah Ta'ala that I respect your security, but can you make a provision for me? All this security, we die here and we shahid. He made dua for that. As though he made dua as an exception to the rule. So the rule was the security. But he says, no, I want to die like this. And this hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. You see that this is how manipulated. There's so many people that I visited now, or phone, whatever. Right? And nearly all of them, that have got some problem, is because of them being paranoid. Paranoid because of the load of information that's coming from the news, media, friends, whoever, load, overload. So it's not a problem, it's an overload of information. And they can't handle that information. When you book out in a hospital, that hospital is worse than home. I thought it was just South African hospitals, London is the same. Because the doctors don't want to see you. The patient is lying here, and the doctor is right there about 10 meters away. Checking on the screen, alright, everything alright, carry on. So that's the sympathy. See. Now we're not looking at it with an open mind. This is a kufar manipulation. They got some agenda behind this thing here. Nobody's watching this. The person is worse off. Now that same person, if he's told by, make some talim in the house. Best is ever what Fazail Kitabs. Kitabs have been authored by Abu Zughanadeen, Awliya. Their hearts are pulsating in the love of Allah Ta'ala. No, but this is all fairy tales. Let's look at the facts, what's happening, the facts, the truth. So that means what they're writing is all faked up. And what the news that is being fed to you, that's genuine. See how you're... So this is what... most of the time, the thing that affects me is this. Is that imani strength is going so weak that you don't want to listen to the books of Allah Ta'ala, to Rasul Paksam, you don't want to listen. And all this nonsense, filth. Like I say, it's... Did anybody check up find out, investigate where it's coming from. It's a lesbian, it's a gay, it's an atheist, transgender, all these type of people, they are faking this thing up. And now we are like clever people, in this century now, we have to adopt all what they say. And what they're saying is not working out. You can see the hospital is not working out. Doctors are getting, they're getting gabbard, right? They're getting gabbard. But no, let's listen to them, listen to them. Until it brings you to a state of mental disorder. I'm talking of real genuine cases. I'm not talking of this here and say, no, genuine cases. Mental disorder, bring you to depression to a level, mental disorder. But you just come back, make istighfar, tawbah, have the heart. What have you done? You have done wrong. Come back, make istighfar, make tawbah. Death has to come, will come. Nobody can avoid it. Few youngsters had boarded a ship, see. Going for a cruise, youngsters, what they want? They want some excitement, entertainment. Until you don't encounter death, then you're in a playful mood, entertaining mood. So they all, 10, 20 of them, and they got a cruise liner, they jumped on. Somehow, to start off a conversation with the captain. So they asked the captain, and your father, what was his occupation? He was also captain of a boat. Where did he die? He died in the ship he had died, in the water he had died. And your grandfather? Grandfather also was a captain, and he also drowned, died. Great-grandfather, same thing happened. So you got a record here, great-grandfather, grandfather, father, all died at sea. But you continue with the same occupation. Same occupation you are continuing with. So the captain turned around. He says, what your father was doing? He said, no, he was a cloth merchant, he was like this, right? Where did he die? On land he died. Grandfather was also a cloth merchant. Where did he die? He died on land. Great grandfather? Where did he die? He died on land. So they all died on land, and you're not afraid to be on land. So if it is for you to die on land, you die on land. To die on sea, and you will die on sea, in the sea. But now to make it like as though it's conclusive, you see what they did here is they made it like murder. Someone is touching that person, murder. That's how it made it appear. So nobody else will touch the next person. See, that's just how they manipulated the whole thing. Now, you tell me that this fever, virus, all is a new thing. It's coming from the old days. It's coming from the top. So then why must you be so afraid? So afraid. You know, I just see some of the mask and I just get disorientated. I won't tell him anything. I understand the surrounding that he's coming from. The surrounding is just forcing him to put that mask on. Right? He's not using his brain. And if you don't put that mask, then generally you are promoting murder. That's how they're reasoning. But now, you won't see. So you can see for yourself. فَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You can see yourself. What's going on? See, South Africa got about 60 million population, right? More than 35 and 40 million people are just living free. Mixing up, interacting, socializing. There's no supervision. Police are watching them and nothing is being done. And the same 35, 40 million are doing all your work. All the work of the house they're doing. Washing they're doing. Preparation of your food they are doing. Right? They are cleaning your rooms. I don't know how many viruses they're leaving behind. How much of virus they're leaving behind? If that virus story was true, so it can't be selective. No, their bedroom, no, I won't come here. Preparing all the food, no, I won't come here. Your clothing, washing it and ironing it and pressing, I won't come here. But yeah, no. You going to the masjid, I'll get you there. You're sleeping with your wife? No, I won't get you there. You're cuddling your child? I won't get you there. The mother is cuddling her child or milking her child? I won't get you there. But you traveling, you must be sitting in the back seat. Otherwise, you are promoting murder. Trying to know what they are saying, the police is saying, we'll send you to the foster homes. And you see that fear. The whole thing is about frightening you. But it's enough that you fear Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah Ta'ala is enough to fear. You don't need anything else to fear. Yes, if the fear of Allah Ta'ala is not in you, then you must fear everything else. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this so well. He speaks about Quran Sharif. أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ أَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا. Now, when you're at sea now, right, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالزُّلَلِ. You know, you boarded the ship. There's no way to escape. So there's waves coming from above, from beneath, from the sides, you're getting tamachad. This side, tapad, that side, coming from top, from below. You know that Zaid Bayat, so he was in university. So I said, "By leave all this nonsense, go and take up a trade, start off, build up yourself." So what to do? So someone said, "All right, go in a cruiser. There is a need for a person to be on the catering in the halal side." So it was a small journey from Durban to Mozambique. It was there. So now whilst they're at sea, and that wave came, knocking them from this side, from that side, from below, like, you know, like a hammer. So when you're in that state, the Allahu Mukhlisina Lahuddin, and then you forget everything else. Forget the virus, you forget the doctor, you forget everybody. Napak, please, now you save us. Please, you save us. So this sea story maybe that everybody doesn't relate to, right? But something that everybody relates. You know, about 15, 20 years ago, the aircrafts were not so advanced. So when they were not so advanced, moving, there's a turbulent. I can still remember. The turbulent, that thing is going 20 meters, 30 meters. It's dipping 20 meters, you hear a pin drop silence. That time nobody's worried about the next person. Like now, you see, like now, nobody's worried about the next person. The friend not worried about the friend. Everybody's like a nafsi, nafsi. Friend is not worried about the friend, father not about the son. Hey, mera kya hoga? Mera kya hoga? You see, this fear has gripped you so much. So we don't say don't fear, but not to an extent that you can't visit, you can't help out, you can't support, you can't do things. So that fear has overwhelmed you so much that you don't want to see. You don't see. One person, his uncle is a specialist. So he's telling me now how he operates. So the nurse is in a different quarter, the doctor is in a different quarter, right? Big specialist now. So he'll only see the patient on the screen, coming with a full suit. Full suit they got, seeing on the screen, all right, do this, move on. How much for that 5 minutes? 20,000, doctor. But you see this? That sympathy, that love, that affection, all the hadith of how to visit a sick person, place your hand on his forehead, on his stomach, rub on it, give him some dumb water, let your saliva get into it. Now all that is forgotten. You see this? This shaitan. This is shaitan. This is actual shaitan. And I was saying this at the beginning, the shaitan, this thing here. And Mawlana Junaid is telling me, and Mawlana Harun Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah Ta'ala, for his grave with Noor. So, but the last dialysis that he was in Snember, right? And in the dialysis, you feel a lot of body pain. So someone that knows, then he needs to rub him correctly. And now, any great Ali, there's an awe about him. You can't just talk to him. So one of the persons that were there, now this is about the last treatment Mawlana went for, right? So he's asking Mawlana, what's this going on? Obviously it's virus. So Mawlana's actual words were, یہ تو چھوٹا دجال ہے, اسمال ورژن آف دجال. And I got no doubts about it. You're just looking at the level of iman, commitment to deen. Now, when there's an encounter like this, then you look at the person's encounter, his commitment to deen. It's forgotten this one, forgotten that one, everything is forgotten. Oh, my life. My life is the most important. Everything is forgotten. Oh, so many things about this Sahaba Kiram. Man is dying. Someone is passing him water, but I give it to my brother. Coming back to him, he's died already. Not 1%, 5% of that, 5 or 6%. But now, what will you see? All of them, they committed suicide. He knew he was dying, why didn't he take the water? See, today's learned person, educated person, what he'll say? Yeah, he went for suicide. And now we, extolling the virtues of the Sahaba Kiram, when we relate the stories here. But that thing doesn't impact on the heart. But the doctor must say, yeah, he went to that masjid, and then one person had that, and then 10 people caught it. Now that thing must affect him. See that? And that story also is faked. Like I say, the same mama is coming in the house, nothing is happening. You go and ask that mama, how are they living? In a 2x2 room, go and find out from them. فَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْزُوا. Go and see yourself. 2x2 room, there's 10 women all jammed up there. There's a toilet, 50 people, literally toilet, 50 people are sharing it. Say, mama is washing your clothes, the dishes, utensils, bedroom, everything is being done. And then you're too lazy to do it yourself. So therefore you say, no, the bedroom and all it doesn't get. Not because of the sickness, but because of the laziness. If it was a sickness, you wouldn't have allowed it in the house at all. For that year, 2 years, stay at home. Shag, sala khaya. Won't you say that? So you allow them in your business, every year you allow them. Just the masjid. And the ones that are supporting it, you support them. But where's the iman? Where's the iman? This is what is, in this whole thing here, this crisis was disturbing me. But more than the sickness and who's dying and whatever else, where's the iman going to? So Allah Ta'ala is saying, complaining, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. At that time you're talking to Allah Ta'ala. When فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ. And the moment Allah Ta'ala delivers you to safety, then you're a different person. So Allah Pak says, do you feel secure that there may be another development that will create the need for you to come back to sea? Now there was a need, right? For you to be on sea. Now let us just change the picture for you to fly again. You know, when it was in a turbulent, then you made all these promises. You thought, no, I'm safe now, nothing will happen. Then there's another development that requires you to go back on sea or back on air, right? So don't you think Allah Ta'ala can create the same thing and smash you down straight away? Don't you think it can happen? Or even whilst you're living on earth, Allah Ta'ala can smash you down on earth. You forgot Allah Ta'ala. That fear has gone so much. If only that I feel today, only 40% of that fear that you got, you know, that 40% of fear for Allah Ta'ala is enough for your iman to be safe. Just 40% of the fear that you got, right? If that amount of iman you had, that amount of fear of akhirat of Allah, that was enough for you. So we started off when I was لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عَتَادٌ. Nabi Sam had a system in everything. See, they build themselves up. Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu is going into the jungles of Africa at a time when Africa is a real jungle, lions, snakes, pythons, everything. There's no abadi there, nobody living. And the Amir means command is go in. So he makes an announcement. So we are sent by the Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Amir al-Mu'mineen that was appointed by Rasulullah Pak Sassan to come and work in this place here. So, O lion, you better get out of here. O snake, you better move out. Python, you better leave. By the morning, the whole jungle is cleared up. But now, they also were confronted with the situations, but they were not overwhelmed. That one announcement was enough for them to shake the jungle. Look at contrast, right? Lions, tigers, snakes, right? One announcement was enough to shake the whole jungle. And one small virus that you can't even see is shaking you. A small little virus that you can't even see. You don't know whether it is a truth or it's a fake news, right? You don't know, right? But it's enough to shake you. It's enough to shake you. That's what I'm saying, that the iman is not right. Definitely, whatever is happening, iman has to be reviewed. Do anything, whatever. But until you don't get that iman, see this, you've got a building, right? And you don't have a foundation, right foundation, what will happen to the building? One storm, when something comes in, everything is gone. See, why? The foundation is not right. So this iman is the foundation, get that thing right. Trying to move, improve the action, not talking about iman. That's why Haji Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi, Allah Baqa Masaf, inspired him, right? See, these people, their hearts were right. So they could see things in perspective. Maybe they didn't have volumes of knowledge, but their hearts were right. When their hearts were right, they could see things in perspective. See? So he said this about 25 years ago, and now you can see it surfacing. He says, by talk about iman, I'm just trying to elucidate what he said. He said 25 times, talk about iman. All right, talk about it. Beg Allah Ta'ala about iman. Listen to the talks of iman. Read about iman. Talk about it. Beg Allah Ta'ala's help to strengthen, protect and guard your iman. Then you'll be a different person. Now you're listening to all that filth information, all kuffar manipulation you're listening to. How many percent, ask yourself, how many percent of your time are you taking out to listen to Allah Ta'ala, to listen to His Rasulullah Sallallahu on the topic of iman? On the topic of dis-iman, you're prepared. On the topic that will shake your iman, you're prepared to listen. And the topic that will strengthen your iman, get you right, get you back on footing, I ask you, how much, of what percent? By the way, sometimes you listen in a kitab reading, or you got a kitab on the bedside, or asking one student. So when you can't get sleep, what you do? So, no, just take one kitab, a little bit difficult. You start, before you know it, you're gone. So you're not doing the kitab how you're supposed to be doing it. You're doing it like a sleeping tablet. Yeah. So how you don't have its effect? Do it diligently, do it religiously, do it with the children, talk about it. I ask you, how many of you didn't speak to your children about virus? Everybody must have spoken. Oh, take this precaution. But how many of you all in this period here spoke to your children, your wife, etc., about iman, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala? See, the Quran Sharif only got 500 ayats about commands. The rest is about what? The greatness, the azmat, the barai, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. How many of you spoke in this period? Ask yourselves. You know, diligently you spoke, got them around, spoke to them for Allah Ta'ala, and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the importance of following Rasulullah Pak Sarsam, what are his teachings like? Opening up the relevant sections, reading it up, bringing it to the children at their level. How many of you did it? So I ask you, isn't it a big disservice? Is it a big disservice or not? It's the worst disservice of the century. You didn't even talk to him. All this rubbish getting to their hearts, his infant hearts, they began to become paranoid, and you didn't do anything about it. So this was saying, this is what's affecting me. So we're talking about Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu. And there's a siege that is laid down, right? And in this whole siege, everything, even basic supplies, water is being deprived of, even water. At that time, now, at that tight situation, they ask him, what must we do? Because the rebels got the imam, they're controlling the whole town, what do we do? Now see, this is called وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, to be firm and to be patient at the time of pain, adversity, and throughout the periods of fear. man is still holding on. He's firm. He's not shaken. That's called wasabirin. You know, those that are familiar with Arabic, it's supposed to be wasabirun. And here it's wasabirin. Mansub al madah. When you are extolling a virtue sometimes, then from the zamma you bring it to fatha, to extol a virtue, to show. So in all these chapters of Iman, Allah Pak is counting this person to be the greatest, is holding on. Whether it's a time of pain, pain can be physical, it can be financial. You're looking so right because financially you are secure. Tomorrow, Allah Pak forbid, right? If your business is sliced, not 100%, 50%, as you'll be the same. See that? So, humara ta'alluq Allah Ta'ala ke saath ihsani hai, is the favors of Allah Ta'ala that we're holding on. You move the favors, you go on. Really you go on. So that iman needs to be strengthened. Like I say, your business is just smashed, 50%, what's going to happen? See that? Do you have that iman? So work on that iman. Strengthen that iman. Strengthen, no matter what comes, Prabhu. That's why, you know, Mansoob alal madah, sabirina fil ba'as, at the time of adversity, pain, physically, materially, throughout the periods of fear, you know, panic, where there's a panic, but you're holding on. Then you don't say, no, you know, I just relax a little bit now, and this is what they're saying, and this is what happened, this is the reality, it's happening, striking us on the face. Bhai, what's the meaning of the verse then? What's the meaning of the verse? I don't know why, I didn't want to talk about this thing, so something else was my mind, but this is just someone's barakat, I'm just talking about it. So Usman Ghani is asked, what do we do? Is the Amir al-Mu'minin, in one stroke he can say, right, kill them all. But he says, no, I don't want to be the first person to initiate killing of a Muslim. I don't want to be the first person. Someone else does it, he starts it off. But though I got a valid reason to do it, but I don't want to initiate it. And then he says, in ahsanu fa ahsinu ma'am, wa in asa'u fajtanibu an sayyad. See, it's balance. See, this is a man, this is a leader. This is a personality. Right? Now we don't read about them, we don't think about them, we don't discuss them. So he says, if they doing the right thing, there's no controversy, then join them. They reading namaz with jamaat, then join them. See that? He is not saying, he's not my party member, he doesn't belong to me, so just abandon him. You're going to join him, then you're going to increase the number of this fusaq and bughat, etc. If they're doing the right, be with them. Now, Admiral Thanvi Sahib comments on this, and he says that when the unity of the Muslims, right, when there's a unity of Muslims, then everything will be tolerated not to break that unity. His life is going, but he doesn't want to break the unity of the Muslim. Life is going. No water is being provided to him. He's killed in the process. But the disunity of the Muslims, I can't stand this. I can't stand this disunity. You know, there's one small thing here, this virus, and how it's disunited the whole world. Can you see that? The whole world has been disunited. You're hearing about relatives, aunts, uncles. So and then comes, you know, I encourage them, go and meet up, talk, help them, see whatever. So now they're going there on each day, or Ramadan, after Ramadan. You know, our haga is in his place, but he just makes salam from the car. It's enough. We just make salam from there, and that's enough. See that? So you're not supposed to be overawed with that fear to that point we're going to break the sunnah. We're going to abandon the sunnah. Every sunnah is being left out. meeting, talking, shaking hands, sympathizing, being of some of bodily help and assistance, everything is being kept up. And every person has got some hadith to back what he's doing. And that whatever he's got is not supported by the way of the Sahaba Kiram. Not the way of Sahaba Kiram at all. Not at all. He's got something. Yeah, scratch something, this idea, scratch something. I asked that person, today he is sick, right? Your father is sick. And you want to keep a distance. Right? So keeping a distance, social, or whatever else. I ask you, Udana Khasta, if you get sick tomorrow, and your father, everybody keeps a distance, your child keeps a distance, your wife keeps, but you stay in a different room, you will be in a different room. I ask you, you'll appreciate that. Such a common logic. No, we won't. We won't apply our brains. So Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, and you see now that unity of the Ummah, how he's maintained it, you know, right? No matter what happens. But I'm not going to allow this Ummah to be disrupted, to be disunited. Just carry on. In the process, he's made shaheed. And he's got no qualms about it. Because the yaqeen is at that level. He sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the previous night or two nights or something. And Nabi Sallam is assuring him, Usman, if you want, and we'll get all these rebels out of Medina. You know, to make dua, all these rebels will be out of Medina Munawwara. And Usman, if you want, then tomorrow you can join us up for iftar. See that yaqeen. Now you can see these things here. When the yaqeen is at that level, then nothing moves you away. Now who doesn't want to be joining up with Rasulullah? Who doesn't want? Who won't want that? So no, let this thing carry on. I don't want to miss out on this bargain. To be sitting with Nabi Sallam and joining up with iftar. I don't want to miss out on that bargain. Life and death is agreed. It's ordained. Like, each time is going to happen. But then to die in this state here, that Allah Pak is happy, Nabi Sallam is happy, what else? This whole subject I started off, system. Hazrat Ramadan was so particular about this. Get everything, smallest thing, get it right. Small, small things he will train you up, correct you. But the greatest thing in Hazrat was, you'll make a mistake 20 times, but you still calmly he'll correct you. He won't smash you down, he won't break you. Like, you know, us now, one shot with this. Drive the person, smash the person, break the person. So he'll discipline and bring about calmness systems to a certain extent. What's in your right pocket remains in your right pocket. What comes into your left pocket remains in your left pocket. The left pocket will not be in the right, and the right will not be in the left. Your scissor or your shaver or your nail clipper is in a certain spot in your house, in the wardrobe. Right. In the darkness of the night, you want to reach. So you don't have to disturb anybody. You don't have to switch the light. You know exactly where it is kept. You open the wardrobe, you pull it out and use it. Right. And all these things are from the hadith. If you look at it, it's from the hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he's going to sleep, the wuzu water is there, miswak is there. So if he needs to get up, make wuzu, miswak, everything is in its place. So there is no delay. Not only delay, but there is no mental disarray. No delay or a mental disarray. I need to get this, and so smoothly it's done. See, this is called order, this is called system. Allah Pak grant us tawfiq.